RTL Original Podcast.
Hi there, and welcome to Song 2, the podcast that just won't go away, like that blemish that you really should get seen to. I'm Stephen Stepslow, and this week's episode is all about Feeder, my favourite band ever. So this one could get a little gushy. Oddly though, we are covering one of my least favourite Feeder tracks, even though it is almost universally loved. It is the song you know by Feeder, even if you don't know that you know Feeder, you know? It has had millions of people screaming about drinking cider through a ruddy lemon for nearly 30 years. And to think, it was almost a song given to another band entirely.
Hi, this is Grant Nicholas from Feeder, and you're listening to Today Radio. He's got a brand new car. Looks like a Jaguar. It's got leather.
Forming in 1992, albeit under a different moniker, the also double E featuring Reel, Feeder didn't achieve bona fide chart success until almost 9 years later, when their third album, Echo Park, was released. Lead single Buck Rogers became a top five hit and paved the way for the band into mainstream recognition. It was, as they say, a pretty big deal. It was also a teensy bit of an issue for a band who were not keen on being seen as peddling three-minute novelty bangabouts. The song was not originally intended to be theirs, as Nicholas had written it for SR71, but producer Gil Norton and Feeder's then-label Echo's A&R team convinced the band that they could have a hit with the song after hearing an early demo. Frontman Grant Nicholas told Kerrang! Magazine back in 2008, "If I put my hand on my heart, I was just trying to write a song that sounded like the Pixies. On the demos, it was much more raw too, but I think the end result was a bit poppy, a bit throwaway." Asking Nicholas what was going on when he wrote this song, which tells the story of a relationship ending in which the girlfriend of the subject of the song leaves him for a character called Buck Rogers, he replied, "I was going through a breakup and it was inspired by that. I just put a load of words down without really thinking about them. It was supposed to be stupid and funny. It was never supposed to be used for anything. She'd started going out with a guy who made adverts. So there was a little bit of jealousy," he admits. "My only way of dealing with it was to keep writing songs. Now, the fella in question was making a car advert at the time. So that's what," Nicholas says, "inspired the first line of Buck Rogers. He's got a brand new car." It's a song about starting again, really. "I thought it would be a B-side at best. The label went berserk for it though, and I actually rewrote it and changed all the words, but Gil Norton, our producer, said, 'You've ruined it and made me stick with the original.'" Don't you try to fake it. Nicholas's bandmates had no such quibbles. Taka Hirose, the band's bassist, liked it, and John Lee, the band's late drummer, absolutely loved it. "I didn't want to play it live," Nicholas said, "but he'd say to me, 'You're fucking mad. We've got to.' He didn't give a shit whether people liked the words or understood the point. He just loved the reaction it got. And believe you me, it still gets an epic reaction now. There is something about this track that connects with people, and when played live, it simply goes off." Gil Norton was the guy everyone wanted to work with at the time. Everyone thought he was American, but actually he was from Liverpool originally. He worked with so many of Nicholas's favourite bands, Pixies, Echo and the Bunnymen, the Foo Fighters, and was actually behind the desk for their Colour and the Shape album. It explains perhaps why some of the textures on Echo Park are quite metallic and seemingly at odds with the overall poppier sheen of the LP. The dynamics work well as the public, buoyed by Buck Rogers and 7 Days in the Sun, found a new fun-time band to bounce around to. But as history records, there were clouds over Feeder. Struggling with new tour regimes, label management issues, sudden success, and having an album that was less them, cracks in the band formed. and out of respect of the families involved and the memories attached to this time and to the eventual follow-up LP, Comfort in Sound, we will not cover that ground here, except to say, rest in peace, John. You are missed. The turn of the millennium experienced a zeitgeist with the anthemic sounds of alternative rock blasting out of bars, cars, clubs, and festival stages. And near the top of the pile was, of course, Buck Rogers. More than just a commercial success, it was also a firm fan favourite, encapsulating feel-good vibes and, with that instantly memorable chorus, representing a certain feeling, a collective longing for starting over, and the spirit of getting over an ordeal. Ask the singer whether he actually thinks the cut is any good and you'll get a wry laugh. Nicholas blows hot and cold on it. I've loved it and hated it. Loved it and hated it, he muses, acknowledging that it opened more doors than it closed, but those that did close were nevertheless important ones. Plus, artistically speaking, Grant views it as the one bend that almost saw them break. Gil won't like me for saying this, but when we originally did Buck Rogers, it sounded a lot more garagey. It still had the same vibe and arrangement, but the vocal was quite distorted, and the guitar and drums were more trashy, more like a Pixies sound. I thought it sounded really cool, Nicholas said, and I was hoping Gil would do that even more. But he made it more commercial, you know? All credit to him, he probably made it more radio-friendly, but if I was going to record that song now, I'd do it very differently. I still think it'd be commercial, because that's the essence of the song, but I think it would have more character. Having a song like this up your sleeve can turn a set around for a band if they're having a tough gig. But Feeder cast it aside for a couple of years, sick to the back teeth of it as they were. We didn't play it for a long time, for 2 years, maybe in 2008-2009. Some people, of course, were disappointed, but I think we've got enough singles so that they didn't have to complain, really. It speaks volumes that Buck Rogers would ultimately be reinstated to Feeder's setlist, and having been there to witness the beer flying at London's Roundhouse in March of this year, I can attest to the song's power. I'll probably never write another like it, Nicholas states, but it's become a bit of an indie classic now. In the same way that Blur must also shrug at the success of Song 2, featured on this pod a couple of weeks back, and REM are not exactly desperate to play shiny happy people till the end of time, a lot of bands have an albatross song. A fair few have made a decent living from them too. I've written so many songs over the years, Nicholas says, and I just hope I get remembered for a few more when I'm 6 feet under. And hopefully, I won't have to talk about Buck Rogers again. The title came because Grant was getting into synths and mixing quirky sounds with heavier guitars. I was messing around with 80 synths at the recording studio The Crypt, Nicholas reveals, and talking to the engineer there about space programs we'd watched on TV as kids, and Buck Rogers just sort of came up. The label wanted them to call it We're Gonna Make It, and Nicholas told them, are you mad? It doesn't have to be so bloody obvious. It can be called anything you want. We had a big row and it stayed as Buck Rogers. It's hard to hear, but strain your ears, it actually says Buck Rogers in the chorus, just very low down in the mix. Kerrang asked Nicholas about the lyric, drink cider from a lemon, and he replied, ugh. That's always the line people ask about. I was just being stupid. It was fun. If I'd known people would still be asking about it now, I definitely would have changed it. Nicholas has written many better songs, and this one, to this day, remains the band's biggest hit. Feeder's new LP, Black Red, a double album, wouldn't you know, is out now. It is fantastic. Go and buy it. This, though, concludes our argument that Buck Rogers changed the landscape for Feeder as a band. It could be for better, it could be for worse, but without this track, we probably wouldn't have got as far down the career as we have, certainly in terms of the wider spread audience that Feeder have enjoyed since that time. In putting this week's episode together, we took inspiration from our own minds, being that this particular host is a massive Feeder fan. We also looked at songtel.com, loudersound.com, songfacts.com, wiki, Feeder HQ, songmeaningandfacts.com, dailypost.co.uk, some questionable quality YouTube videos, and a huge swathe of online fan forums. Song 2 is out mostly every Wednesday with our main episode and every Friday with our guest features, where some quite talented and famous people tell us their thoughts on track listing and the Song 2 theory. I appreciate your support and that you have listened thus far. Drop us in a star rating, please, leave us a review, and hit subscribe. Song 2 is researched, written, voiced, and produced by me, Stephen Stepslow, for Today Radio. Cheers. Save it, yeah. So don't you try.